Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
A bunch of ranch teammates out here getting after it. That's what we are. That's what we care
about. We stick together.
Through everything, through thick and thin, through the thick of blue cheese to the thin, beautiful, delightful, smooth, buttermilky taste of ranch dressing. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. And we got a lot of great ones today. We're excited. We're inching closer and closer to the start of the NFL season. We got more money coming out, big questions about other quarterbacks in the state of Texas, and a weird curveball from the world of college football today that shocks me based on the source, but not based on what happened. That being said, Jhené, last night, the long finger of the law got in the way of any of the Nuggets' hopes in the late game last night as the Clippers took down the Denver Nuggets in that they get another win in the series behind stellar performances from both Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, who it's safe to say, I think, has righted the ship after an early playoff stumble of, you know, pandemic P versus playoff P.
And you guys heard it here first. Like, everyone was so critical of Paul George, and we were like, let's be patient. That's another P. Let's see him be persistent through this moment. And we were the first to say playoff P is going to come back, and he has. And it's been a beautiful sight to see. Now the Clippers, that's the team that we expected them to be. That's the team that we have been waiting for. I know health has been an issue for them with their players, because they've had, like, Montrezl Harrell was late to the bubble. Lou Will had to go and address his personal situation. I know we got a lemon pepper situation from that as well. It's been patience for them, and also making sure that the best ability is availability, and now it's paying off. It's really great to see. The Nuggets looked like they were in firm control for the most part of this game up until late. And that's when real teams, top teams, show up and show out. And they delivered, whether it was defense and that finger, you said, like, the finger of the law, finger of the claw, or if it was offense and seeing Paul George be aggressive. And of course, we know the last few minutes, Kawhi knows it's time for him to take over. So that is the Clippers team that we expected. But kudos to the Nuggets, because they have competed more than I sort of thought they would. Like, they have shown flashes of potential for years to come. Jokic is talented. Murray is a top scorer. Their contributions are on both ends. They dig down on defense, and they're pretty good offensively. Like, when we saw Jokic getting turnt, I know we give big boys love, but he was flexing.
He wasn't.
I don't know what he was flexing, but he was flexing something.
You know what? Listen, he's done a lot of work on his body during quarantine. Like, he's gotten the fitness right on all these things. And you're right. Like, they were showing out in a number of instances. Now, Jamal Murray found out that maybe Kawhi's not the dude to try in that instance. But Michael Porter Jr. sent someone to meet God earlier. Shout out to his dad, by the way. Apparently the hardest man to please in show business. You saw him after that poster where he snatched a soul, and his dad barely just, like, shifted his weight in the chair.
No, I approve this. I approve the dad's response, because you want to act like you've been there before. Sort of like OG Anunoby. Like, you hit the shot before. That's who I am. That's what I do. But I'm just saying, like, I feel like that's a dad thing. Because if it was me, mama in the stands, mama would be getting turned. Mama would be going crazy. Because that was a poster. That was it. That was, to me, the poster of the night. And I know we had another good one in Jaylen Brown versus OG Anunoby. But that one was like, this is my name, MPJ. And I love that his dad was there. And he's like, that's my son. Yep.
Yep. He's doing exactly what that was the face of, oh, my son has done exactly what is expected, which is probably a testament, like, kudos to the high bar set in the Porter family, apparently,
right?
In these situations. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. You mentioned Jokic. Strange phenomenon here that for him now, he's got three career playoff games with 30 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists, and the Nuggets have lost all three of them. So, strange there. And for the Clippers on the other side, this is starting to look like, you mentioned, the patience to get to the team we expected. They've averaged 121.6 points per game through their first 9 playoff games. That's the most by a playoff team in the last 30 years. And if you ask Paul George why, all it had to do with was, you know, a little bit of Aaron Rodgers advice, R-E-L-A-X.
What is it about you right now that you feel like you're in such a groove?
Whenever I can just relax, calm down, not put too much pressure on it, come out and just play. I'm always in a good place. I just got to do that. I just got to come out here and just be calm and relaxed. Let everything else, you know, take care of itself. My teammates continue to trust me. Doc continues to trust me. That's the easy part. Just got to come out here and play ball.
Today, it almost like bums me out because Paul George had to deal with what happens a lot in when we look at these from the media lens. We look at the players that we're waiting to see something from and judge him, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Giannis to an extent, going into these playoff runs to see, are you going to perform up to our standards in the places we need to? And we know Paul George let us all in on how mentally draining that was early on for him, and he seems so liberated now because he started playing so well. No one can lump him in on that, and so it's been largely quiet around him, which has to feel like a welcome respite at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing we sort of just have been critical of his game as of late because he has struggled, but we don't sort of put together the pieces where we put pressure on him, like in Indiana, leaving Indiana, OKC, and then being that surprise acquisition to the Clippers outside, you know, when Kawhi comes and it's like not just Kawhi, it's Paul George. There's a lot of pressure when you move from place to place, and also you're considered top 10, you know, first team all NBA, top defensive player. You're voted, you know, close to the MVP categories not too long ago. So I feel like he feels a lot of the pressure and expectation, contrary to what Kawhi feels. Kawhi is good. As much as this is their year to win, where they have top tier talent both on the bench and also in the starting lineup defensively, like this is their year. Kawhi is good in the sense that he just got a ring, and he sort of got a ring, and it's not like he stole it, but it's like, ooh, I made the most of this really, really difficult situation. So now I could be one of the, I guess, isn't it the only player to win three championships? Like he's racing LeBron to get three different championships on three different teams. So like he feels like he has the benefit of the doubt, you know, when it comes to that history, because he's young. His running mate, Paul George, he feels more pressure because he wants this chip now. And so when he was playing, I think he was playing according to that pressure, not necessarily playing free. And now he's realized he has to play free in order to do what he needs to do best. And I'm glad he's being expressive about it. R-E-L-A-X. Like, that's what everyone needs to do to compete at a high level. And Paul George has finally found it, and he found it at the right time. What is it? 32 points last night, 4 rebounds, 4 assists.
All scorers.
We can up the rebounds, though. But it's also interesting because it was the third time in the postseason that Paul George scored at least 25 points in a game. And in all of those games where he scored 25 in the postseason, the Clippers won all three. So that's the pressure he's putting on himself.
Is it fair to say that him and Anthony Davis in really similar situations with both their respective teams? Because they're with all-timers, two guys in LeBron and Kawhi that are probably easily consensus top three. And at this point, have heard everything, have gone through the gauntlet, Kawhi with his strange inner injuries and dismount from San Antonio in a very strange situation. LeBron's been through everything you could possibly throw at a guy in a basketball sense. So they're sort of battle-tested and able to resist all that stuff. But Anthony Davis, another guy that came over from a different situation, gets all of the praise for being an incredibly talented player, but hasn't had that production. You know what it is? Do you ever play Pokemon, Shanae?
Yes, got to catch them all.
So,
but I wasn't the one person that was out in the streets doing the Pokemon outside.
That was okay. So that was me, which, you know, I feel a little attacked right now, but that's okay. But you remember how, like, in the game when they're evolving, you can kind of see when they're caught between the two different forms.
Yeah,
that feels like where Paul George and Anthony Davis are right now. Like, they haven't quite fully evolved into the ironclad top tier superstar, but they're both really, really good and on their way. And it feels like this playoff could be the middle of that evolution, evolving sort of circumstance.
We're gonna learn a lot about the number twos today.
We got a great guest list coming up today. Chin Angolo Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Here is our guest list for today. Dominique Wilkins is going to join us here in a couple minutes. Kyle Rudolph, Minnesota Vikings tight end at 4:30. My old college roommate. Diana Russini, our ESPN NFL insider at 5:30. Danny Morrison and Will Connor are going to join us on behalf of some cool stuff happening around the Duke's Mayo Bowl down in Charlotte at 6:15. If you miss any of these guests, you can listen to all 3 hours on demand in the ESPN app. That was foul of you, Chinay.
Oh, was it? My bad.
Oof. It's going to be an interesting day because we have that thing lurking out there on the internet right now that no one knows specifically how to talk about or how we can address that's being hinted at around Odell Beckham Jr. But if any show is going to find a way for you,
it's going to be us.
I know it is going to be us. But in the meantime, before we wade into those waters, why don't we check in with an all-time NBA great on what we can expect from a couple of key superstars going forward in the playoffs. We'll ask next. It's Chin Angolo Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agumake. And there was so much happening in the NBA last night. Monster performance and output from the Boston Celtics in that game. We know it came down to the wire, really to the long middle finger of the claw, Kawhi Leonard. And now we got a lot to look forward to tonight with a potentially hobbled Giannis Antetokounmpo taking the court and the Lakers-Rockets series continuing to be contentious. And so to help us continue to break all that down, we're delighted to be joined now by Hall of Famer Dominique Wilkins with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Dominique, how are you? We appreciate the time.
Hey, no problem. How you guys?
We're doing well. We're doing well. And a lot to unpack, Dominique, as we mentioned. But Giannis has been someone that's been at the forefront of a lot of conversations. We saw him go down with the ankle injury last game, questionable going into tonight's pivotal do-or-die game for them in that series. And I'm curious on your end, Dominique, for Giannis and this ankle, is this a situation where they should even be thinking about putting him back out there, knowing how long-term important he is to their franchise?
Well, if you're asking me what I think as a player, it's one opinion. But if you ask me as, you know, organization, that might be something else. But as a player, there's no way in the hell someone can keep me from playing. If I can get out there and play, I'm going to play because at the end of the day, it's about competing. And he's a competitor. So I would be surprised if he didn't play.
Dominique, you know I love speaking to you. You are truly a legend in the game. But you spoke as a player, and I always see that vantage point being a player myself. But what about for the franchise who has to think about the long term and the future? How do you evaluate their decision to make sure he plays it safe?
I understand that. You know, you got to do what's best for the player always. But at the end of the day, this is what we signed up for. We signed up to do this. This is what our passion is. This is our life. And so, I don't know what to tell you when it comes to that because, again, as a player, as a competitor, I'm going to play. It's just, you know, it ain't about the money. It ain't about anything. It's about my love for the game. But if you look at the way they do it, things are done now, I mean, there's always precautions that's in place to protect the player. And, hey, I'm all for that. But it ultimately comes down to the individual.
Yeah, it does come down to an individual, and Giannis has been that guy for the Bucks. How do you evaluate the Bucks' performance in the postseason? We know that they have stumbled, and they finally found a little hope, even without Giannis, with Chris Middleton stepping up. How do you see the Bucks and their aspirations to try to keep this playoff push going?
Well, the problem is, I mean, first of all, I was very surprised the Bucks have played the way they played, but you got to give Miami Heat a lot of credit because basically what they did is push Milwaukee out of their comfort zone. They made them more of a jump shooting team. They didn't get all those drives to the paint. And they put pressure on them on the other end. So, you know, Miami is one of the best, you know, defensive teams in the NBA. So they're going to make you earn everything you get. But Milwaukee's biggest problem, they don't have guys who have stepped up consistently to take some of the pressure off of Middleton, take some of the pressure off of Giannis. So you got to have other guys. When the playoffs start, other guys got to step up. There's just no way around that.
Dominique Wilkins with us, Basketball Hall of Famer on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line here on Chene and Golic Jr. And Dominique, you mentioned getting out of comfort zones. That certainly seems to be the story for both teams in the Houston Rockets-Los Angeles Lakers series. We have two completely different styles, the big bodies of the Lakers going up against that Houston micro bowl. Ultimately, do you think a team like the Rockets can go all in on that small style and have sustained success when it comes to the postseason?
Personally, I don't think so. I don't think they can beat the Lakers playing that way with such small guys. I mean, I'm you know, at 6'9", I'm taller than everybody on their front line, you know, as a small forward. And so, you know, you're going against Anthony Davis, LeBron, and McGee at that front line. I mean, that length going to kill you because they're going to beat you on the glass. They're going to get points in the paint. And I don't care what people say. There's no substitute for points in the paint because not only are you getting – easy buckets, high percentage buckets, but you get another team in foul trouble. So you create an advantage for yourself. So that big front line over time is going to wear them down.
That's one thing I really appreciate about you, Dominique. You keep it real. And coming from Houston, you know, a Houston native, my expectations are low. We all know who the favorites are, the Lakers, and they're starting to play like it. But it's also a similar situation for the Clippers. After the game last night, you sort of see them wait till the end and make their final push. What do you think about Paul George's performance and also Kawhi Leonard, how he's been able to play and lead? Do you like them in the West?
Well, with Kawhi, you know what you're going to get each and every night. He has no letdown. I mean, he comes at you. He's a relentless ball player. Paul George has finally stepped up and played the way that they expected him to play. And so if he can play like that and you got Kawhi doing his thing, they're going to be a hard team to beat. There's no question about that. But, you know, I think it's them in L.A., the L.A.
Yep.
Lakers.
Yeah, I really do think it'll come down to the city of L.A. And before we let you go, Dominique, you've really talked about how your perspective as a player sort of shapes your outlook of the game. How would you evaluate the game right now, the way that they're playing, and how that type of style can affect a championship? I know you're all about competing and being on the floor.
Yeah. But, you know, this is the difference. And the great players step up every single night. Kawhi steps up every single night. LeBron steps up every single night. Anthony Davis steps up every single night. So when you got guys on your team who steps up like that, they're about one thing, and they're about winning. And so there's no substitute for that, you know. And so you see a different type of mentality. You have good players, you have great players, and you have superstars. Those guys are superstars.
Dominique, we appreciate the time, the insight, and all of the looks at the NBA postseason and what we can expect going forward. Thank you so much, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, no problem, guys. Bye.
Dominique Wilkins, Atlanta Hawks legend and NBA Hall of Famer with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Always good to talk to a legend like that. I feel like when he said, I'm 6'9", I'm taller than the whole front line, he was kind of, that gave off the energy that he feels like he could still give someone buckets right now.
Oh, big facts. Like, I really do think he could still give, like, that's one thing that does not lose. Like, you don't lose that at all. So, he was very serious.
All right, you know what? That is interesting, and this is a perfect through line because coming up next, we got a special guest, someone near and dear to my heart, who also, I firmly believe, still thinks he could go out and give people serious buckets if you got him on the hardwood. So we might have another challenger for you, Chinay, on the basketball court from the world of football. We'll get to that next on Chinay and Golic Jr. after this word from DraftKings. Now, to kick off the football season, DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is giving new users a free shot at $1 million top prize. With a total of $3 million up for grabs this Thursday's football contest, all you got to do, download the DraftKings app now and use code CJR. For a limited time, new users are going to get a free shot at $1 million in a top prize and $3 million in total prizes. Don't miss this extra special week one bonus. That's code CJR only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Let's go back to the college roomie next on Chinay and Golic Jr.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
So, Chinay, you know how we had the conversation yesterday about, like, fast food restaurants that you defend to the death and places that you wouldn't let get slandered online?
Yeah, Chipotle.
So, exactly. Everyone's got, like, a knee-jerk reaction. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Everyone's got a place that's near and dear to them. And one of them that has been near and dear to me and near and dear to our next guest for a long time has been Taco Bell. So much so, like, this wasn't just, like, a college love or a young love. We're down at the Super Bowl this year in Miami, and we're hanging out. You know, we're at the NFLPA party, doing the rounds that everyone does at all these places. And all of a sudden, Kyle Rudolph, we're standing there, it's him and his wife, Jordan, and they both look, and we're like, everyone's hungry. We should go to Taco Bell. And so we left one of those bougie Super Bowl parties and went and had ourselves a good sit-down dinner in a Taco Bell. Minnesota Vikings tight end Kyle Rudolph joins us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Kyle, is that pretty accurate for the most part?
That sounds exactly accurate.
Kyle, I'm so excited to have you here, and I'm selfishly going to hijack this whole interview because we can always get to football. That will be there this season. We're so excited for it. But you guys clearly were roommates at ND, and I'm just starting my work relationship with Junior, and we pride ourselves on having conversations straight from the locker room. Notre Dame locker room in this instance, also, you know, the Vikings locker room. So please, can you tell me something that has happened that you witnessed happen in the Notre Dame locker room involving Mike Golic Jr., just to give me some context? I want to know.
You know, over our, say, 10-year relationship since, you know, I've left school and, you know, Mike's graduated, gone into the work world. I've been in the professional world. All the interviews that I've done, all the times I've been on, you know, whether it was Mike and Mike back in the day or Golic Wingo Jr., any time I was on with Mike, I've always held from any of the incriminating stories that I have on Jr., and he's done the same to me. So, you know, maybe at some point off air, I can give you some good incriminating stories that you can bring up, but I won't be able to incriminate Jr. at this time.
Okay, at least you can help me, though, with the nickname. We've struggled. I've called him Michael. I've called him Junior. We have Gojo. We have GJ. Is there a locker room nickname that you guys use for him?
We always, to us, he's Mikey. He's always been Mikey to our kids. He's Uncle Mikey, godfather to one of my daughters. So we always call him Mikey. You know, Grolic has always been another one. You throw an R in there. so there's plenty of nicknames to go around.
Now okay, lastly, Kyle, do you have any advice for me? Because, you know, we have a lot of fun conversations. What would you say? I'm now his work wife. We're trying to figure this thing out. What's the best tips for my success here?
You got a good one. You know, I'm from an outsider's perspective, I'm extremely excited to continue to tune in and listen to you guys, the dynamic that you have. Like you said, kind of bringing that locker room vibe to the sports world is a good one. And obviously, I'm a huge fan of Mikey and everything that he's done. But also, Mikey can tell you I'm a huge basketball player at heart and basketball nerd. So, Janae, I'm a huge fan of yours as well. And I'm excited to see you guys work together here for a long time.
That's why I told you guys in the last segment, Rudy had offers coming out of high school. Like, this wasn't a game. This man had ACC Hoops offers, and he will let you know.
Usually, if there's one position that really does well, it's not the linemen. I'm sorry. It's the receivers. It's the tight ends that sort of have the jumper. They have the dexterity. So I'm here for it, Kyle.
I love it. Yeah, the trapped inside this football player's body is a basketball player at heart.
Kyle Rudolph, Minnesota Vikings Pro Bowl tight end, with us here on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. My old college roommate, Rudy, I appreciate you keeping the secrets in the group chat. The check is in the mail.
Man of Steel.
Your other daughter, Finn, and your son, Henry, are all getting better Christmas presents this year because of that. So as we keep all those secrets where they belong, Rudy, I do have to ask, because it's wild, you mentioned since we all left the fold at Notre Dame and went along, you're now staring down and just finishing up training camp number 10. What the hell is going on, man? How does it feel to be one of the old dudes sitting around in the locker room now?
Oh, it's crazy. You know, it feels like it was the blink of an eye. You know, a decade has gone by, and I mentioned to you guys, I got a vet day after a day off this year, and I'm like, you know, you've reached a level of old timer when they're giving you 2 days off in a row. You know, just getting a day off throughout the grind of training camp is one thing, but when they're giving you a day off after a day off, you know you're old, and you know you've been around the block a few times.
I was going to say, that's officially the vet status right there. That doggy bone in the middle of training camp had to feel good. But I think in general, Kyle, just watching, you know, you came to Minnesota early on, and there were a lot of big-time established names around there. Jared Allen, Chad Greenway for so long was a face of that team. And certainly no disrespect to Kirk Cousins and what he represents there. But as a multi-time Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, the work that you do with the Minnesota Masonic Children's Hospital around there, you've really kind of been the face for the team in that community in a lot of ways. And I know this offseason, in a lot of ways, through all that as well. What's that meant to you to have kind of the trust of not only your team, but that surrounding community out there in Minnesota?
Well, first of all, it's extremely rare to play for one team for a decade. You know, just in today's NFL, you know, free agency, things like that, it doesn't happen very often. So, you know, first and foremost, I've been very fortunate to be in this community for 10 years. And with that being said, this is home for us. You know, you mentioned the kids, Andy, Finn, Henry, all born here, all be raised here, all go to school here. You know, we've decided that, you know, over the course of the last 10 years, our roots have gotten deep enough that this is going to be home forever. And this community has really responded and welcomed us as much as, you know, we call it home. They treat us like we're Minnesotans. You know, both of us obviously transplants, but it's a community that's very near and dear to our heart. It's a community that we love and we try to impact greatly. But, you know, also from a professional standpoint, you know, the organization that I've been fortunate to play for 10 years, you know, you see our owners and the Will family at the forefront of so many things from a community standpoint, from a social justice standpoint, from a leadership standpoint that, you know, like I said, I've been very fortunate to be here for a decade, but I've also been very fortunate to have been drafted to a community that's accepted us and to a team that has such strong ownership and leadership from the top down.
No doubt about that. We've seen that on display, as you mentioned, time and time again. But, Rudy, we've talked so much about the 10 years there, the differences, getting the vet day after the day off. But that's just one of, you know, many differences going into this year. Obviously, we've talked about and seen all the wild changes around the game that have happened because of the virus. So I'm curious, through your 10th training camp and getting ready to go in to your 10th season, how different has it felt because of everything going on?
It's definitely felt different, you know, like everything in life over the last 6-7 months. You've had to get used to a new normal. And, you know, for us, that's taking a COVID test every day, making sure you get it in before the deadline so that way it can be tested and you can be back in the building the next day, wearing the contact tracers from the second you go in the building to the second you leave the building. For us as a family, you know, the fall is a time where, you know, weekend and week out, we have people here in town coming to home games, staying at the house. And, you know, we can't do that this year. You know, I simply can't take the risk. You know, if you were to test positive, you know, you'll probably miss at least 2, maybe 3 or 4 games. So it's certainly a unique fall. It'll be one unlike any that I've been a part of or probably ever will be a part of again. But, you know, with that all being said, you get used to your new normal. And, you know, for me as an individual, as a player, I feel as prepared and ready to go into a season as I ever had over the last 10 years. It's just, as athletes, we're so used to routine and habit. You know, I feel like it's late July because we haven't played a preseason game yet. Yet we've been in camp for a little while, and you're just so used to having those 4 preseason games where you go on the road, you're in the hotel, you get used to that vibe again. So for it to be the first week of September and on the verge of week one here, it's a little weird because we haven't had that. But at the same time, you know, we've had time to prepare throughout training camp in a different way.
It is going to be wild, but hell, Rudy, if anyone can make it work, I'm sure it's you. So we're looking forward to it, man. We're excited for week one and to see you guys go out there and get it done, man. Best of luck. Love you, buddy, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, man?
And I look forward to the follow-up call after the show is done.
Absolutely. I'm here for all the good stuff.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, Rudy. As Kyle Rudolph, Minnesota Vikings tight end on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with us. I told you he wasn't going to give
so
me up
annoying.
Like that today.
That's so annoying. Like, you have great friends that will not put your business in the streets. Meanwhile, my family's like, oh, today's this, today's that. Like, it's all out there.
See, this is the good thing is
okay.
I've gotten Rudy on enough shows over the course of years to where we know exactly where the boundary is and what we don't cross on air. And that is for everybody's health and well-being in this situation. So, awesome stuff from him. Coming up next, though, speaking of health, all of a sudden, we are treating COVID results in college like it might be some part of some competitive advantage. Who needs to step in and stop this and why? That's next. It's Shanae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio after this word from 303 Protectant. See, just like your skin, the sun's harmful UV rays can be damaging to your vehicle too. 303 Protectants keep your vinyl, rubber, and plastic surfaces from fading, cracking, and deteriorating over time. Simply spray on and wipe dry for protection that lasts up to 30 days. Use on your dashboard, your console, leather seats, or even your tires. 303 has been the trusted brand for over 40 years, and they're the official car care products of the Mecum Auctions. Available at O'Reilly, AutoZone, and Advance Auto Parts. Visit 303automotive.com for more information. Back after this, it's Shanae Golic Jr.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I still can't really believe that you thought my roommate was going to give me up like that to you guys.
I really thought that he would just say what he was thinking and feeling. And I know he was going to filter it out. He was not going to go PG-13 or R. He was probably going to go PG. I wanted something, but it's okay. That was my first crack at him. And he's a solid dude. He's a man of steel. Those are the friends you want.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Our thanks to Minnesota Vikings tight end and my former roommate Kyle Rudolph for joining us that last segment. No joke, like you said, solid dude. We call them, they did, you know, like those functional movement screenings you do when you come
FMS
into college?
FMS test, yeah, the one that I failed almost every year, correct.
So we did that coming into college, and when we were all in the room as freshmen in the weight room getting ready to do that, Kyle went first, and he's doing everything and like going through it and nailing it all and making it look super easy. So we're like, all right, bet, this test's going to be easy as hell. And then we all get up and start doing it, and we're like, what the hell is this guy eating? Like, how is this happening? So we started calling him Captain America after that because he just went through and nailed all that stuff perfectly.
He does give a lot of Chris Evans vibes. He does give those vibes. But you know the FMS test? Like, it was horrible because it's where you have to, like, do that, like, try to get both arms on the back of your back.
I was going like, to say, for anyone that doesn't know, the functional movement screening is basically like all these tests for your flexibility, your range of motion, and all these different joints and things like that.
You stand on a beam on one leg and try to go above like the bar back and forth. Yeah, and it's funny because they try to say that there's a connection there to your athleticism. I've seen a lot of great athletes fail that test. But then I've also seen a lot of great people improve themselves on that test. But he does seem like the type that he would pass that. I failed it. Did you fail it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Two peas in a pod.
Listen, that's what we do around here. We overcome our deficiencies on this show on Jhené and Golic Jr. So speaking of college and going back to where we were, trying to be inside a lot of these locker rooms, we have gotten so many headlines about COVID-19 and the response different teams have had. This one was shocking to me today because Lincoln Riley and Oklahoma have generally been a team and a program that have been extremely cautious. Lincoln Riley was one of the coaches advocating for getting players back to campus as late as possible, learning as much as we could, being cautious. They had fully disclosed so much of their information. And yet today I saw a report from Jason Kersey, who covers the Oklahoma Sooners for The Athletic, saying that Lincoln Riley said Oklahoma won't be releasing football COVID testing data moving forward because of, quote, competitive advantage. OU has decided to start treating these things like injuries when it comes to public disclosure. And, Jhené, you know this. We see professional leagues deal with injury reports all the time on this one. It's obviously less so in college. But in this situation, I'm just baffled that, you know, actually, you know what? I shouldn't say that. I'm not surprised at all that we wound up here. Because if you have any failure or lack of ability to create oversight for college coaches and college sports programs, these big winning machines, they're going to do the thing that gives them the best chance to win. Like, this is the way coaches at all these high levels are wired. They are saber-toothed winning machines. And so if you give them this kind of room, of course this is what they're going to do.
So I agree. This is what they want to do so that they can fit their number one priority, which is winning football games. But sometimes I'm like, okay, what is the impact? What is the intent? Because if the intent is to prohibit your competitor from a competitive advantage, say your quarterback is now unavailable due to COVID restrictions, meaning he's part of contact tracing or something like that. If you make that information too accessible too early, your opponent can game plan around that type of information. But the thing is you have to sort of see the virus where it is in society. The information is what is key. Being able to make sure you maintain the health and safety and availability of your players. Like, we need that type of information in the big picture, in big scheme of things. And I was just even looking at what the most recent information was, the data that was released. And from the 17th to 21st, Oklahoma said that there were 17 active cases amongst football players, along with 6 new positive tests. And you know, we've all been getting the information about the publicized tests. I think that if it's doing it informing with the intent of, okay, we don't want to give you advantage, I get it, but we still need to know so that it's dumbfounding. It really is.
This needs to be taken out of their hands, much like it happens with players and concussions in football. You can't trust football people to act in anything other than the interest of winning if they're given enough space to do it. I don't really blame the coaches here because coaches are paranoid. Coaches are going to do the thing that ensures that they can keep winning and keep their jobs because there's so much at stake in all this. but some sort of governing group, I don't know, the NCAA, needs to step in here and understand that this isn't a normal injury situation. This is a contagious virus that we're dealing with in here. Lots more to get to with that we'll be revisiting. Lots more to look forward to tonight in the NBA. That's next on ESPN Radio.